What is going down, everyone? It's time for MojoBreak.com, The Hype, episode 330. I think it's going to be a hockey episode as everybody is chasing Berdard. We got some Caitlin Clark news as well as some prospects to watch as we get into the baseball season as spring training is underway and everybody's chasing these first Bowmans at a Bowman draft, Bowman Chrome. And we got a little bit of new digs. How you guys feeling?
I'm loving the new table. Hopefully the sound comes out good. This is so weird for me to hear my own voice in my head.
I feel you. There's nothing I hate more than the sound of my own voice.
Welcome to my world. I hear the voices in my head every week. So
but
we're all in the producer chair.
Yeah, I like it. Look at this. Look at this table. It's fine mahogany, I believe. Right.
Fine mahogany.
Fine mahogany.
Eventually, we're waiting on some more arms for Mike, so we got some NSYNC Backstreet Boys vibes going on right now. So
not only we can get into synchronized dancing, but we can also do a podcast as well. So I like it. And again, headphones. We get to hear it back in real time.
This will probably be a one-week only thing. We're waiting for some microphone stands coming in. But, yeah, if you're watching, yeah, we're all doing
this to my phone. And just go. Just
sure.
This will be my headset for my phone going forward. Maybe I can get one that's Bluetooth.
You could do telemarketing.
Telemarketing.
I've done that before.
Yeah.
What company is this? Do we want to promote them? These headsets.
The
fine people at Audio Technica.
Audio Technica. Okay.
I used to slang some AT back in the day.
Mm-hmm. AT 2020.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude. AT 2020. It's a standard large diaphragm condenser mic. Great for vocals.
Look at this.
Yep.
Getting out the vernacular here 5 minutes into the episode.
Well, dropping the knowledge.
Also dropping the word vernacular
Vernacular.
Because there might be some people who are, they might be excited about the actual equipment that we use.
You never know.
There might be probably a couple.
There might be the one person who is always like, what, Mike? What condenser are you using this week?
That is a person that I want to sit down with.
What's your lighting sitch?
Yeah.
That's a...
Look, we had a lot of those discussions earlier this week when we were down in L.A. for talking to Matt Leinart. So
Matt Leinart,
cool guy.
How is Matt Leinart?
Cool guy, very cool guy.
Cool.
Yeah. If you haven't already, go to Fanatics Live. Our page on Fanatics Live, it's archived, so check it out. Really fun time, great time. Nice guy.
He seemed like a great guy.
I think it is, but it doesn't show up right now. But maybe they'll get it up there soon.
Setup was interesting. Was that one of their studios, or where were you guys at?
No, they rented like a house on Venice.
I was like, damn, this looks legit.
So the guy just has a studio for like shoots, podcasts, things like that. And I think he might live in the house too. I'm not sure because his dog was there.
I believe so.
Yeah, so it was a cool little location. I think it's Millville Studios, I believe is what it's called. So
Millwood, I believe.
Millwood? Okay.
Millwood, yeah.
Millwood Studios. Well, let's get into some hockey talk. We've got Berdard Mania going on right now. And you guys can win a box on X right now, Twitter, whatever you call it. We're giving away a free box of Series 2, which is up to, I don't know, $300, $350 a box now, which is unheard of for hockey. So what we're seeing is collectors that have been chasing Wemby, chasing Stroud. I think we're seeing some pivot into hockey as this gentleman is known as a generational talent for hockey. The baton of Wayne Gretzky, Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, and now Berdard. So I think that's what we're speculating on, and that's what the hype is about, the show here is about, and we're definitely seeing it as raw young guns are going for, man, 900 to 1,000. And you're getting one per case, sometimes two per case. So what do you guys think? Dissect that price. Is that too high? Is it going to come down? Do you guys believe in Berdard? And what do you say about people that just complain that the box is four times the price because of them?
Yeah. Well, anytime you can hit essentially a base card, like a just – because that's what a Young Guns is.
Yeah.
I mean, you get six of them per – not six Connor Bedards per box, but you get six Young Guns – generally, there's going to be 35 to 40 subjects in that insert set. The Young Gun is the flagship when it comes to hockey rookie cards. It is you would basically say that is the hockey rookie card. The next thing would probably be the SP Authentic Future Watch on card auto, which I would actually put that closer to like a Contenders, because it is going to be on card ink. And then for rookie patch autos, you're looking at the cup RPAs. Yep. But when it comes to flagship, you go back to Crosby, Ovechkin, obviously McDavid in, what, 12, 13? 15, 16. 15, 16. Well, I was like, who was 12, 13? Yeah, yeah. You know, I was in the ballpark.
And obviously Wayne Gretzky didn't have one.
Obviously Wayne Gretzky. What was the first young gun, I want to say, was it Jagr's year? Was it like 1990 or 91?
I thought it was, see, this was showing our lack of hobby knowledge. I thought it was like 98, 99.
No, I think it was like 90 or 91, and I want to say it was Jagr.
Early 90s.
I could be wrong.
Well, that would have been the first year of Upper Deck because they started in, or no, second or third year because they started in 89.
I think it was, yeah, so.
1991, yep.
Oh, man. I mean, some people say, how do you do it, Dan? I don't know.
That's pretty good.
I'm curious, what like, big name hockey player, young guns, Rawl even sell for $900?
Well, I'll go back.
They're saying McDavid, Ovechkin, and probably Crosby. I don't know. I can't confirm that that's what they sell for Raw, but those would be the.
I
don't.
But I would imagine those took some time to get right. to that level.
I mean, I remember ripping 15, 16, and I felt Raw. If you hit a Connor McDavid, it was like $300.
I think that I was listening to this hockey podcast, and they were saying Lafreniere was the highest out of the gate.
Yeah, I think that also was. The timing, when was Lafreniere a huge name? It was right as everything was popping off in this hobby. So, yeah, the player himself, I would guess if that was Lafreniere number one this year, if you flip it, the Bedard stuff would be, like, astronomical, whereas I think Lafreniere would be probably about where, maybe a little, maybe even a tick above, because he's a New York Ranger, above, like, your typical top young gun in a given year.
Well, what do we think that Bedard, obviously a Blackhawk. How much him being a Blackhawk affects his market?
It's a big part of it.
Because there was a chance he could have been a San Jose Shark.
Could have been.
Connor Bedard.
Don't remind
Connor
me.
Bedard as a San Jose Shark, probably not selling for $1,000 raw.
Well, I mean, and we talked about this before, like what this team mean for hockey. You're looking at the last few guys. You can say Edmonton for McDavid, but that's, you know, Canadian market helps.
Austin Matthews for Toronto.
That helps. Toronto helps. The big team.
Caulfield for Montreal.
Right.
Was a good one.
Right. If you even want to go back to Sidney Crosby all the way back then, I mean, Pittsburgh Penguins still a premier franchise in the NHL. So we don't really have that many guys to really judge off of. Hockey folks, please sound off in comments and wherever social media. And let us know who is that sort of outlier of, like, player versus team, if you can see my hands there if you're watching.
Yeah, because I just looked. Connor McDavid, we're dealing with two Connors here. His raw is about $800, so it's about the same price right now.
Man, but Connor McDavid is proven. I mean, he's on the path to being a Hall of Famer.
Sure, hasn't won a cup yet, though.
But he's on the path to being a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
He is the best player year in and year out in the NHL. Connor Bedard, we can't put him in that category.
No.
Do we think we're going to be talking about him in 5 years and we're like, man, that dude is so much better than Connor McDavid?
I do, and it's partly because of I feel like a lot of times with these can't-miss NHL prospects, like, there have been guys who are quote-unquote can't-miss in baseball and basketball who clearly missed. I can't remember the last time there was a can't-miss NHL guy who didn't end up being that dude. You know, like, every time a guy comes up, we're like, well, this is it. This is the generational talent. All right, go ahead. Lay it on me.
Nail Yakupov.
Well, there you go. How long ago was that, though?
Maybe 12, 13.
Okay. Well, that's Edmonton not that. Had that's, four, that's sort of recent.
Four straight first,
yeah,
right? Taylor Hall.
Okay. Taylor Hall.
Okay. Jordan Eberle.
Eberle. But Nail Yakupov is like, this guy is going to be legit.
I still
can't miss.
I will still argue missed. I think the odds are better in hockey than they are in other sports.
And Nail did have that stigma, but not this Connor Bedard stigma at all. It wasn't. I mean, people were like, yeah, he's good. But they didn't talk about him like he's a guy.
They also said Lafreniere is really good.
Right.
And right. I mean.
Which, again, I do wonder how much of that was.
Jack Hughes has been good, but he didn't start off that great.
No. He's become a really good player. But you're right. It did take a little longer than they had anticipated.
I mean, You have $1,000 right now.
Well, come on.
We're playing the thousand. Everybody here at this table has $1,000 in their pocket. You can buy a Connor McDavid or a Connor Bedard Young Guns. Which one are you doing?
They're both $1,000?
They're both $1,000. Well,
yeah, I'm getting the McDavid.
Yeah, well.
I'm getting the McDavid because right it's a sure bet.
McDavid right now is $800.
Yeah.
It's actually less. You actually get the McDavid and $200.
Sweet.
I think the Bedard.
Then I'll go buy an insert, Connor Bedard insert
actually,
while I'm at it.
You may be able to buy the Connor McDavid, then go buy a box of Series 2 to see if you can pull a Connor Bedard.
All right. I'll take it.
I do like the hype. If I'm buying Connor Bedard at like $500 and I can grade him, I might do that for the hype of the possibility.
But it's $1,000.
And I thought I heard somebody try to come in.
Come on.
But yeah, it's close to $1,000 right now. But
need that on air light.
If somebody is stacking stuff up on the other side of this door, I am gonna flip out. Like, we do this podcast once a week for a span of about an hour, hour and a half. One time out of the week to not mess around with that wall, and we can't contain ourselves.
The kids are on the escalator again.
We cannot contain ourselves. And I might be able to walk out there and scream. I might be able to get it live, me screaming at everybody. Stop touching the wall.
We can do that as a bonus. That's how we can, if we ever get a Patreon, that can be how we start a Patreon.
I actually think it's Shane. See his glorious, see the glorious Shane walking by. He's actually stopped.
He shook his head on the way.
He shook his head because he knows what I'm complaining about.
He knows it. So I'm trying to find the pop report on the Connor because, I mean, we got to assume that there's probably at least double the amount of Bedards this year as opposed to McDavid's in 15-16. I would assume. I don't have facts on that. But
McDavid was highly, highly touted. I don't know why they would make less 15-16.
Different market.
Different time. I get it. But how much? I mean, maybe they made, let's say, 20% less than they made this year, maybe.
Well, what you got to keep in mind, too, is that back then they were giving you one relic or one auto a box. Now they don't do that at all. So they don't have to. They could print a lot more. This, I mean, Upper Deck is like they're Scrooge McDuck on this release. I mean, they are swimming in it right now. They're like, this is their Black Friday.
No, because they're selling it for less than $85.
Well, you don't think they're holding some back for dynamic
maybe a little bit, but they sold a lot to distributors for less than 85, because we bought it for 85. Oh, uh-oh.
Bought Summit.
We bought Summit. I mean, everybody knows. Hey, if you could see all the piles of Upper Deck stuff that we've been holding on to, consistently losing money, us getting this for 85 and being able to sell it for 300 is not even going to get close to making us whole on all the product that we're holding. So,
oh, yeah.
We got a lot of Upper Deck.
Hey. You know, every once in a while, you get a dub. And Series 2 is a dub, but we have 30 or 40 losers that I can spout off as well.
Yeah, still looks got like some Space Jam lying back there?
We got Space Jam. We got it all.
It looks like there's 2,800 tens of Connor McDavid's, 5,742 in the pop on PSA. That's not even counting BGS, which was probably more prevalent back then. So, safe to say 10,000 at least graded.
I prefer a McDavid and a BGS slab.
Well, what do you guys think? DA Card World came out with $1 million bounty. This is the first year they're doing the one of one. Is it the Gold Outburst? Is that what they're calling it?
I believe so, yeah.
Gold Outburst. I might be getting that incorrect. But $1 million bounty.
It's a lot of money.
What would you do with $1 million besides two chicks at the same time, man? I'm just kidding.
I would. There's only one thing I would do.
Well, apparently the folks at Dave and Adams are going to give you $1 million for a Connor Bedard card. That's what they're going to do with $1 million.
They're going to do. But yeah, when I get my $1 million,
we're talking.
I'm not going to buy the Connor Bedard back.
You're going to probably buy some 2021 Eminence and some 2021 22 Flawless.
Mm.
And,
sure,
two yeah. chicks at the same time. Because I think I would need about $1 million.
I mean, I was trying to compare, like, if I didn't have a price to put on that, like, now we have a price, and that's what we're doing in this industry now is putting prices on things before they're pulled. I would have thought it barely would have touched six figures. Like, it would have been right around, like, 100 to 200,000, in my opinion.
I would say 200,000. I mean, that actually puts a number on the high gloss number 10. If the 101 is worth $1 million, then now the number to 10 has to be close to 100,000.
At least, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Then what about the number to 100?
Number to 100, 10,000?
If you're doing the math like that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I mean, it's funny, like, not that simple, but we just did math. We just broke it down.
We did. I mean, it's crazy to me to think. And that's what you're going to probably see some fatigue in these breaks, and I'm not trying to be that guy, but I'm going to be in this situation. That is a boring product. That product, we've ripped it 10 years now, longer than that. That product is really dry, really boring to open.
You know what the saving grace is, though? Upper Deck spared us. They actually cut the configuration down.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. There's less base cards.
Mm. Oh, because then you can make more boxes.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
Less base cards.
Less, yeah.
No, I don't disagree with you. It's still...
It's still what?
Time consuming.
18, 22, 24 packs?
Yeah.
Still 24 packs.
Yeah,
right?
But just way less base cards per pack.
Now, I'm curious if it is... The packs are like the Fort Knox packs of the past where you basically have to work out your fingers before you can get into them, or they're going to just disintegrate on contact, because Upper Deck will do both.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll get the one where, like, you basically tear the pack and it just, like, rips into a million pieces.
Yeah.
Or ones that you're just sitting there clawing at for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love putting the new guys to open up Upper Deck packs. It's just so fun to watch.
Yeah, I think Greg got through a case in 45 minutes, which is pretty good.
Oh, so
the configuration works. Yeah. Because under the old configuration, that minimum is an hour break. Minimum under the old configuration.
Yeah. But I just think that we're seeing this box was made prior to the group breaking era. It was meant to be a rookie product that you're going to be getting young guns, be happy with those young guns, open it with your kid or whatever. You got 24 packs to open. Now it's transcended into a group break product because we have names like Bedard, McDavid over these years. And I think you're going to get some people that are coming in from Impeccable and Flawless because they see that there's a $1,000 chance. But, I mean, if you wanted to go to sleep, you would put this break
well,
on.
Well, we're
the
only lunatic group break company that consistently rips every single Series 1, Series 2, and Extended Series for the last well over a decade. Like... So we know what this product is going to be. Like, we're not blown away about, we're like, man, I only saw one auto in this whole case. This is boring. Like, we know going into it.
So it is.
Like, I had a guy break into my house like a couple years ago and he was going to steal something, but I had an Upper Deck Series 2 case on the TV. He fell asleep. So he didn't break it. He didn't steal anything. He didn't steal anything
in
the house.
So. You're telling me he came in, he saw the break playing, and he's like, I'm so bored, I'm just going to lay down on your couch and go to sleep.
Wow.
It didn't take anything. You actually came out and you're like, you woke him up and you're like, hey man, like, you need to get out of my house. And he's like, as long as you just turn the TV off. Yeah. He's like, I'll gladly leave.
Yeah, that's what happens. No, I mean, it is for hockey purists. This is the staple product. Just for breaking it is a little tough. But I know why we're doing it, and I know why it's expensive. But what do you guys say to the people that are like, my box used to be 120 at the shop, now I got to pay 350?
Because you can get a raw card out of there that's $1,000.
Exactly.
It's very simple. The same people would be complaining if they're like, the box is $100, but the best I got out of it was a $5 card.
Right.
Yep.
Which could possibly still happen.
Right.
Except that you can buy a $300 box and get the best card could be $5.
And it's not like your odds for typical, like, oh, a $300. There are other boxes where you will open 10 to 12 $300 boxes and you'll be like, well, you maybe don't get a single card that's worth that much. The fact that you know at least in each case, if not more, you are going to pull one of these cards. It's pretty justifiable to be
got
honest.
going to be the highest volume card going to PSA in the next couple weeks.
Oh,
right?
My God.
Like,
yeah, so much.
There is people who are probably on a plane right now cross country with their Connor Bedard base card in the carry-on. I need to get this in PSA's hand.
Any deals for SGC?
I was going to say.
I don't think so.
Oh, well, we didn't even talk about them being
I know
bought.
It happened the day after we recorded.
Yeah, by the way, PSA's parent company bought SGC. And then to believe that these young guns are going to be selling for as much as... There we go.
Yeah. Which I believe I saw that they now, if you combine PSA, SGC, they basically have an 80% market share, if not 85% market share on the grading services. So
Awesome.
Smart move by PSA, I guess. Or collectors is what you call them, right?
Smart by SGC, frankly. We're like, hey, we're not changing anything. We're just going to be.
Maybe they can change their. I'm not hating on SGC. I can't stand
people
their
like,
slab.
People
I can't
like
stand it.
Though.
It actually angers me even talking about it.
I don't mind it.
I don't like it.
Don't like SGC slab at all?
No. You don't like the tuxedo.
That's stupid.
It's dumb. What if eventually down the line PSA keeps the slab the same as SGC, but they just turn it like red, like the PSA red? Clear and red.
If they got rid of the tuxedo?
Yeah.
If they got rid of that, I just don't like the
all black
rubber foam buffer.
You don't like it? Yeah, exactly. The border.
I don't like the. Yeah, I don't like it.
I think it looks good on certain cards, but I'm with you.
I think vintage it looks great. I always think vintage it looks great.
There's nothing about it. A modern card doesn't look great. Vintage card doesn't look great. Mini card doesn't look great. Nothing looks great. It just
Dan's not a fan.
I don't like it. It's not my preference. I don't really like the PSA slab either.
Well, this is documented.
Yeah, and nothing beats a BGS. Just when you hold it in your hand, you feel like you have something. It's got some weight to it. Yeah.
I think PSA's beaten BGS
by
a lot.
Yeah, so that's happened.
Both of them actually have. Yeah. I think BGS has like a less than 1% market share.
CSG is ahead of Beckett.
Yeah, I mean, there ain't nothing wrong with fourth. I mean, what's under bronze? You get...
Nothing.
You get a good game.
You get a nice hearty handshake.
Slap on the rear end. Good game.
Yeah, that's what it is. You get a good game. You get a Capri Sun.
You get a Capri Sun and an orange. Yep. Guys, go on to our Twitter and our X, and we're giving away a box of Series 1. So be sure to enter in on
series
that one.
Series 2,
sorry. It feels like Series 1 because 1's better than 2.
You might as well just give one away with the Series 1.
I mean, frankly, the fact that what was the conversation with 1 was, hey, where's Bedard? Oh, cool. There's a little Bedard, insert goodie there.
It's a photo variation. It actually was. Honestly, I was surprised that Series 1, the market on it's $150.
Yeah.
If you would have asked me how much that box is going for, I'd have been like, I don't know, like probably $80.
Yeah.
$150.
Which actually brings me into the promo we're doing in the shop. If you're local to the Bay Area or if you want to call the shop, we are selling Series 2 for $300, and you can get a Series 1 for an additional $50. So it's about 70% off on that Series 1 box. So.
Man, whoever came up with that promo is a genius.
Get your Young Guns Bedard and get your Bedard insert.
Yeah.
SP, why not?
That's good.
Yeah, double
good.
Marketing.
Whole lot of cards. And, hey, you never know. One of these other rookies could pop. Everybody has the blinders on.
That's
like
true.
Connor Bedard. One of those other kids can be like literally the next Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Anaheim's got a lot of good young talent.
Yeah, I see some of these other teams selling pretty fast from RPYT. So
yeah. Chicago might get the number one pick again, by the way, next year.
It's crazy.
I believe though the Sharks are currently the worst team in hockey.
Yeah, but they're not gonna get it.
No, probably.
NHL knows better.
Which, guess what? It's another not quite generational talent, but close.
I mean, it was crazy. I turned on the Sharks game last night. It looked like the A Stadium out there. It was bad.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good right now.
When you give up, when you score 6 goals and you lose the game.
And their announcer got sick during the game and left. Drew Remenda was.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I just turned it on. Drew Remenda had to leave the set.
Drew.
So who took over?
I don't know.
Probably was Randy Hahn all by himself.
It should have been Emily Harlan.
I know. Emily should have taken over, dude.
Emily should have jumped right in.
Yep.
Yeah, well,
you know, whoever signed Caitlin Clark at Panini deserves a raise. So Caitlin Clark inks a deal with an exclusive deal with Panini, and Fanatics probably pounded the table on that one because.
How did they let this happen is what I keep thinking.
Because they've had her already.
But you can't sign them all.
If I'm Michael Rubin, I am calling everyone. How did you let this Like, why did you not just give her whatever she wanted?
Somebody got fired over this.
I think this is this is the biggest deal, like, exclusive fumble they have had since they
What if Panini was like, we're going to over-deliver on the money?
And I'm sure
we're going to basically go so far out of the ballpark that Fanatics is going to be like, you're never going to recoup any of that money anyway, so you can just
well,
have it.
Well, here's the thing. Like, Caitlin Clark going to the WNBA next year for I sure?
Yes. Is that she has declared.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah,
so the fact of the matter is I think that Fanatics has paid for Stroud that they can't use. They've paid for Levis they can't use now. They've paid for all these guys they can't use. They're probably like, well, we can't use Caitlin Clark when she's in the WNBA. Can't use her other than photos and jerseys and stuff like that. So,
yeah,
they don't have the WNBA license. Yeah.
And they were probably like, is this worth X amount of dollars that Panini is offering? And they probably were like, it's not, because we're not going to be able to monetize it.
And I do wonder, I know we know about the NBA and all the NBA licenses and all that. I assumed, because the NBA, WNBA owned by the same company, I just kind of assumed WNBA was going to Tops in Fanatics, but
no, I think
I
it's
don't
a separate
know.
Entity. I
right. That's the thing. Is it not like NBA might be leaving, but Panini is going to be exclusive WNBA?
I think the WNBA is going to be one of the Panini's main brands.
Which would make a lot more sense why they would be like, we have to ensure.
100%.
We have to go as hard as possible.
Yeah.
To make sure we sign Caitlin Clark. That makes a lot more sense if WNBA is indeed not going to go to Fanatics as part of that deal.
Yeah, I don't know. There was no terms on the deal, right? It was just
we don't know
announced
yet,
as exclusive. So.
It's big.
But you
it's,
imagine she already makes a ton of money off NIL.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
She probably makes a lot more money on what she's going to make playing.
I wouldn't assume.
Things are going to change pretty soon here, I feel like. As you're getting more teams in the league in a couple of years, the Golden State's going to have a team. She's probably going to get a record playing contract. And, of course, all of the other deals that are going to be coming, shoe contracts, all sorts of other endorsements. So
I think she's already with Nike, no?
I don't know.
I know Ionescu is, right? Ionescu's
yeah,
Nike,
she's
right?
got her own signature.
Ionescu is in the WNBA right now, right?
Yep. Yes. Correct. Yeah, Liberty. Yes. And then you might see a Caitlin Clark, Ionescu, Steph three-point competition next year.
I'd love it.
You know,
that'd be
great.
Really cool in the Bay Area to see that. Yeah, she's going to be huge. It's a great job by Panini. I mean, we've been talking about it. Like, how did they survive in this? And, like, here it is. This is, like you said, I think it's – you guys were talking about it. Why I was, like – my initial thought was, how does Fanatics let this happen? But you're right. It means so much more for Panini to lock up a huge name of this caliber, to have their WNBA Prism last year there was no rookies in that product. So now instantly it becomes it's going to be one of the hotter products of the basketball cards calendar once it does release.
Well, the timing on this is good, because she just broke Pete Maravich's all-time record, right, of college points between men or women.
Well, you can ask Connor. I don't know if anybody was breaking Prism WNBA besides Conrad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the first year.
And the second year.
We've broken every single year, and it gets sadder every year, I'll tell you what.
Because there hasn't been another
was great.
Talent.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't there the Revolution WNBA?
Yeah, and which was so underrated when you see what you can get in that product and the price point.
Yeah, because they
but
probably
like
don't
no,
make as much of it.
But people still didn't want it. It's like, because they have no rookie to chase, right?
Yeah. I mean, and then you have Juju Watkins on the horizon in the next few seasons as well, right? Yeah. So
you've got two huge stars, not even counting a couple that are pretty notable. UConn Paige Buecher is really big. So, man, I'm telling you, like, just in general, I can name more college women's college stars right now than men's college stars right now.
WNBA is going to be on the incline for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, do you guys think, I was just thinking out loud here, that there's a scenario, because we know that, you know, we don't have Wemby Autos, but Fanatics is still going to probably sign some of these next guys, Bronny, all these guys are going to be exclusive. Would it be a situation that they could put Caitlin Clark into NBA products as just maybe an autograph SP chase? Or would that be, you know, because then you're adding more content and chaseability to something that they lack autographs of. Now they have Caitlin Clark to throw in there.
Sure, I think so.
But I don't know if there's any legality of crossing over. I think you could have two non-PA players in there. Maybe she's one of them in every release.
Yeah.
I can almost guarantee they're going to figure out a way to do that. Like, and do something like, and maybe even bring a couple other players in the fold. Like, imagine, like, next year in Prism, they have, from the three-point contest, like a dual Sabrina Ionescu, Steph Curry auto or something like that, be huge. So yeah. I could see them totally doing that. It wouldn't shock me at all.
Well, what do we think? Like, let's say in 5 years, what league do you think has more popularity, the WNBA or the MLS?
Ooh.
I think the WNBA.
Those are the type of questions I have, the real ones that you
think.
I think
the WNBA.
I lean towards the WNBA.
Messi's a bigger name worldwide, right. But can they reproduce that with somebody else?
The thing that will always, for me, and I know I just saw actually today, I think I saw the New York Football Club, is the first all-soccer stadium is opening in New York City, so there's a lot of money there, but I think the thing that will always hold it back is it is always going to be the place where the guys who used to be the best players in the world go to play. Keyword, used to be.
It's like their farewell tour.
Right. Whereas there are more notable, famous WNBA stars right now than there ever have been, and there are more even bigger names on the horizon. Yeah, I think I think that's what it is.
WNBA
and summertime too. MLS just goes on during summertime. Like, other than baseball, there's nothing. There's no other major summer sport. There's kind of a void to fill there, so it's gonna be one of those two. I'd lean towards, especially basketball popularity in this country, I think that's going to lean towards that.
At some point, I do think the MLS is not going to be the place where the former stars come and it's their farewell tour and the twilight of their career.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be players that are going to come up in the MLS and then go on to play either for the U.S. team or for another country in the World Cup, and they're going to come back and they're going to want to play in the MLS at some point.
I think too, the lack of structure in soccer in general, in terms of player movement, when can players move, like stuff like, oh, we're going to loan you this player and then they're going to come back, or like, oh, like I, every time, like even when Messi came to Miami, I'm like, didn't he just go to PSG? Like, what's going on? Like, it's like it makes the NBA look like stable in comparison. I think there's a little bit of that.
I do
too,
like the way like the EPL, like the English Premier League, does their thing with, like, if you don't win an X amount of games, you just get kicked out of that league.
Conrad knows and loves that.
They should do that in the MLS. No, I don't know where you would go, but it's almost like, sorry, you just don't play this year. And I know financially that makes no sense, but I could guarantee you teams, if you're not going to have a job next year, you're probably going to play pretty damn hard.
Imagine the Carolina Panthers right now are playing in the UFL next season. Like, the XFL champions played,
and they may win four games.
They might, yeah. That would be hilarious if that's what it was. The XFL champion gets to play in the NFL next year.
Now,
bye-bye.
And then the worst, the team that literally was the worst.
Sorry,
they have to go to the US, the U,
whatever it is. I think it's UFL now because they just merged.
You got to bring Shane in here. He can break it down.
The English Premier League thing. Look, obviously we know that the teams rotate based on how well you perform that season. But, like, there's a lot of clubs that are, like, historic clubs. Like, it's not like they just disband. Like, what are they doing during
– They go to a lower league.
They go to a lower league.
Yeah.
And then I'm not a master. I don't know everything about this. But I think there's, like, four different leagues.
Okay.
Like you just keep on going down if you don't perform.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, because like Leicester City, that's like a historical club. They didn't make it into Premier League this year,
right? Yeah, so. Even though they won like what 4 or 5 years ago. Now they won. They had a history of like they had always been going back and forth between EPL and the lower leagues. So it was like a shock when they won that first one. It was a really big moment. But yeah, it's. There's no way in hell in American professional sports we'd ever bring it here.
It
would be fun.
I would love it.
Keep you on your toes.
I would love it.
It would get rid of if you want to get rid of tanking, that's how you do it.
It would work in baseball as well.
Baseball needs it
baseball
more than
because baseball
needs
doesn't
it.
Have a salary cap. So like you would have to go out and get 18. Like the A's would be
playing in freaking independent ball right now.
Yeah, bring up a Triple A team or something.
Yeah.
And honestly, they can play in the same stadium. They wouldn't even have to move anywhere.
Yeah. Exactly.
So speaking of, I'm glad you guys segued to baseball because we got about 8 minutes to talk about prospects here, guys. So I don't want to ask Cody because I know he already knows. Who's the number one prospect right now?
The number one prospect in baseball.
Number one.
It's got to be an Oreo because they got like 50 of them.
Take a shot.
That's a great. I mean, that's a pretty good guess.
I mean, is it this guy here? The on the pitcher? Holiday?
Who is it? Okay, there you go.
Yeah, I would have said, Jackson Holiday.
Yeah, Jackson Holiday. Census number one.
The Orioles have so many prospects from the last few years.
Didn't they win like 120 games last year?
Yeah, and now they have like five of the top 50 prospects in all of baseball on top of all that.
I feel like Orioles have been the top team in baseball products because we sell it, everything. And I just swear the Orioles have been the most expensive team for the last 5 years.
Now, number two has the same first name as number one, but not the Orioles.
Right.
Mm.
Cheerio.
Yes.
Another Jackson.
Oh, the Brewers, huh?
Yep. So then you got Paul Skeens, Junior Caminero.
Paul Skeens is third already?
Yeah.
Third.
And this is MLB.com's.
Is Paul Skeens going to be on the opening day roster?
No, it actually just got announced yesterday that he's going to be sent down, which is... He even was like, yeah, I've only thrown six professional innings. Like, yeah.
Scrub.
This is how it goes. Now, will he be up midseason? Wouldn't be shocked. Won't be shocked. There's definitely some, all that arbitration manipulation and all that still goes on. So there's definitely a lot of that still happening here.
So, and I'll ask you, Cody, you're our resident baseball expert. So you got Junior Caminero, Evan Carter, Wyatt Langford, Dylan Cruz, who hasn't even had a card yet, Ethan Salas, Colson Montgomery, Walker Jenkins. Out of those top 10 on MLB.com, who do you think makes the biggest impact? I mean, I guess it would be easiest to say Jackson Holiday, but is there somebody else on that list that, might ascend his card value this year?
We kind of talked Cheerio a little bit. It's kind of hard to see that value going up much more, but like the guaranteed MLB contract means he's going to be on the team opening day. He's going to get a chance with that team. The guy I'm looking at, I'm going to focus on someone who doesn't have a card you can collect yet. That's Dylan Cruz. Dylan Cruz is probably going to have his first Bowman and probably immediately is going to be called up in maybe, I would say by midseason, I could see
really?
Dylan Cruz getting called up.
Nationals.
And I say that too because I like the Nationals where they're at. All those moves they made where they sold off all the World Series players, Scherzer, Soto, all that. It's all paying off right now where you've got this young core where you're going to have Dylan Cruz up, James Wood, who... If you want to go just watch an absolute beast playing baseball, James Wood, 6'6", 230 pounds, and like looks like he's just flicking a toothpick up there, and he's hitting bombs at like 450 feet. Really, really incredible power potential for him. So you got those guys. You've got all those other young guys they've had, C.J. Abrams, Kyber Ruiz, a lot of good young pitching. I think the Nationals are like a year away from being an actual playoff contender in the National League. And the only other one I'd say is Wyatt Langford.
Will he get a start this year?
Well, there was a good article, I think it was in The Athletic, that basically was saying there was real debate inside of the organization. They were like, Evan Carter's got to get called up because they had some injuries, but he's the guy. But apparently there was even some debate about mid-September of like, do we call up Wyatt Langford? Do we get him in this lineup?
The Rangers,
who, again, won the World Series.
See, I actually look at that and go, Evan Carter, he was on the team.
Right. Made a huge impact.
He was part of the World Series championship.
Yeah.
So maybe not in card value, but in value to his team, he's probably one of the most valuable on that list.
No doubt. And obviously he's going to be like the one of the three big rookie chases this year, but Langford could get a call pretty quick. He's making a big impact in camp right now. And they kind of have they have options for their either third outfield spot or DH spot. They could go a lot of different ways. But I think they really want to go with Wyatt Langford. He's that good that early. And, the World Series champions are going to get – like, it's crazy that the Orioles won 100 games last year. They're getting a ton of prospects getting called up. The Rangers won the World Series last year. They're going to have Wyatt Langford here. It's just going to be the rich getting richer when
Giants
it comes to
got
prospects.
Matt Chapman.
And the Giants got Matt Chapman.
Not a prospect.
No, but I'm excited. I'm excited to watch Matt Chapman picking a third.
Yeah, I'm excited about 230 and 18 homers.
Sure,
Giants are going to make the playoffs this year.
I think so.
Okay.
Hey, the Diamondbacks won.
A's are going to win the World Series.
The Diamondbacks won how many games in the regular season? 84? And they were two wins away from a World Series. I'm just saying. It's different. We live in a different time when it comes to baseball.
Yeah.
Just get in and then get out.
I hope they do. I love the enthusiasm. That's...
That's a fun future bet. It's probably like hella good odds for them to win the Super Bowl.
You just hand it to them and give you a ticket.
The best here. This is not about the money,
and they're all thanks.
We're not about betting advice, all that. But like, if you're looking for a solid one, look at any team that's projected to win anywhere between 80 to 85 games. Look at their World Series odds and just be like, yeah, screw it. I'll just throw a little bit on there. You know, you'll probably be all right to at least make it.
You can't go wrong throwing 20 bones on that.
Yeah, why not? Say, you know what? That Pittsburgh Pirates team, O'Neill Cruz, breakout year. Let's do it.
Wow, yeah, it's actually a big disparity. Evan Carter's base sells for raw around 230, and I'm seeing Langford about double that.
Yeah.
So people are, even though Evan Carter's already got a World Series.
It's not fair to Evan Carter, frankly. It's like he's the – Wyatt Langford's the new hot item, so that's what it's going to be. But at the same time – I think the ceiling for Wyatt Langford, I think a lot of folks think it's a little higher, and it's more of the flashy stuff. It's more of the big raw power and all that that I think plays really well.
Is he an outfielder?
He's also an outfielder.
They're both outfielders, yeah.
Yeah, both outfielders. Yeah, it might get a little crowded in that Rangers outfield, but they'll make it work.
They should trade one of them away.
Great, yeah. I'll take it.
Wyatt Langford's auto looks better than Evan Carter's auto.
Yeah. And Carter wasn't – Carter was not really a super highly regarded guy for a while.
No.
It took a while for him to get up to that. I mean, what year is his first Bowman's?
2020.
Evan Carter?
Yeah.
God, is it really?
I think it's draft, though. But
okay.
Yeah, yeah,
oh, my good Lord. As if 2020 Bowman needed more juice. That would be insane.
I believe it's draft.
Okay.
Ethan Salas making that list, too. And those boxes are fairly affordable because he's like the only guy to chase in there. So.
17 years old.
And he's a catcher, which is prospect death. But, you know.
They're projecting him to be in the major leagues at 18 years old. That is, I don't care what position you play. That's where you're like, okay. There's something special happening here. This guy clearly is the real deal. But, yeah, he looked good in camp early on. So a lot of really good guys. There's a lot of guys who could graduate.
What years is Bowman?
Who? Last year's.
Yeah,
Bowman Chrome.
2023 Bowman Chrome.
Yeah.
So he had a Bowman when he was 16?
He signed that when he was probably like 15 or 16.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Young.
12.
And he doesn't have a great auto, but it's not bad either.
Right.
Actually.
His is about a $500 to $600 base PSA 10.
Yeah,
so
I believe it. Yeah, yeah. He's going to be exciting. And if you look at that MLB.com list, I think the thing that really is striking is how many guys are projected to graduate from prospect to major leaguer this year. I know that's pretty normal. Like you get like that list and you see like five or six guys, but like literally eight or nine guys on that list are projected to make the graduation.
What we're seeing now more now than we were like 5-6 years ago is these can't miss prospects before they make their debut, teams are extending them.
Yes,
and
that's what it is.
Once they extend them, they're like, cool. Like we don't have to worry about arbitration. We don't have to worry about your rookie deal. Yep. We got you for the next 10 years anyway. Come on up. We want you up now.
Yeah. Yep. It wouldn't shock me, especially with new ownership, if the Orioles say, you know what, Jackson Holliday, let's just do it. Let's get a 10-year deal under our belt. I don't know if he's represented by Scott Boras. If that's the case, then he's going to be waiting until the year 2075 to sign a contract. So,
Boras will be like, I need $1 billion for 10 years.
Yeah, then he'll settle on a 1 year, a 7 year, or 3 year deal with an opt out at the All Star break.
Is Snell still out there?
He's still out.
Jeez.
There. And he's probably going to settle for like a 3 year deal with a bunch of opt outs. So. Right. Great job, Scott Boras.
All right, Cody, go ahead and take us to our next segment where we talk about the Dodgers for like 30 seconds.
Sorry, we don't have enough time. Sorry.
Yamamoto got
he got rocked
up.
Today.
Lit up.
You better believe it. Yeah,
three innings, five earned runs.
Yeah, it's going to be the most you ever pay for a pitcher rookie auto of a pitcher in years, but he got rocked today.
I would have took him.
I'll take it. Before we let you go, I have a bold prediction here. Chargers represent the AFC this year in the Super Bowl. And my hot buy right now is Quentin Johnston.
Mm. All right. This is coming up.
Matt Leinart convinced you,
huh? Say.
No. He was actually up on Bryce Young because they went to the same high school.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yep.
I think Harbaugh is going to get – he's going to make the Super Bowl the first year.
Super Bowl the first year?
Yep.
You know they
– they're going to lose to the Niners.
You know they have – you know they're in salary cap hell, right?
You know, I mean, Bosa brothers might be together, but still.
Well, so Bosa, they're gonna have to release him. Khalil Mack, they're gonna release. They're gonna be like, James, they're probably gonna release. Like,
well, the Bills just released like half the roster today.
I honestly, here's a hot take. I'm gonna double down on what you just said. The Chargers are picking first overall next
year. Not Harbaugh. Harbaugh's gonna make it happen.
I will. I mean, a playoff for like them. I don't think that's out of the question. With a coaching change there, there's a lot of talent already on that roster. They just needed the right guy guiding them. And they got it now. And the guy who was guiding them.
Have him move back to San Diego.
And now the guy who was guiding them is the assistant head coach of the 49ers.
Get off our futon.
There's only one true LA team.
Get off our couch.
Niners got another Staley in the house. So.
I was going to say, Brandon Staley's over there, so I got to keep my mouth shut about him now. I can't say anything bad about him now.
Would you guys hire him as?
Assistant head coach.
Oh, God.
I mean, that's like, he's not the head coach.
Honestly, what does an assistant head
coach
say, do?
I was going to say, this is like the assistant to the general manager.
Like what is
he's going to be in your Shanahan's ear. Hey, go for it, bro. Go for it, bro. Yeah.
No, he's going to watch. He's going to watch a play. And if it doesn't work out, he's all, I wouldn't have called that.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then if it works, he's all, I told you to do that, right?
Yep. Niners, Chargers. The Chargers fall to the Niners, but, that's my Super Bowl prediction.
Take it. Brandon Staley gets redemption. He gets revenge, I should say. Yep. That's what it is.
Well, the Niners may be there. Maybe. The Chargers will not.
Oh, I thought you were like, Niners will also be there at the top of the draft. It's what I thought you were implying there for a second.
I mean, there's a chance. There's a chance.
I don't want to speak that into existence.
I mean, this year's going to be like, whose house? Chargers' house.
Nobody will ever say that because they don't. You want to talk crap about the Rams not having fans there. The Chargers have zero fans.
Zero. They have struggles finding people to put on
TV.
The screen.
Oh, yeah, they had that girl. Yeah. They had that girl who was like a Jets fan.
They had to make up a girl crying in the stands that says she was a Chargers fan.
I still don't know. Come on now. She's a real bolt-up fan, you know? Yeah, LA,
they got no fans.
LA's going to be a Charger and a Clippers town here by the year's end.
If you're a true Chargers fan and you listen to this show and you're not just a Justin Herbert collector, please let us know.
Honestly, how many Charger fans besides Cody? How many Charger fans have you met?
I've never met one.
I think I knew one, but this was when they were San Diego. This is when they were San Diego, though. San Diego feels different.
I think a lot of his dad's a Raider fan, but I think he became a Charger fan because of that.
I think a lot of the people who were San Diego Chargers fans have jumped ship.
I don't think I've ever met a actual Charger fan.
Who's better? I mean, who better to usher in the fans than Jim Harbaugh?
They're gonna come out. You watch. LA just needs LA. If you bring out stars, and Jim Harbaugh is a star, like, people are gonna come out and be like, "Oh,
people
I'm curious."
Don't go to the football game because of the coach.
They do though.
They don't.
I'm
though.
Telling you,
they,
this is a
don't.
Different. This is different.
They don't.
He is different. They don't. 99% of the time, he is in that 1%.
What makes
Harbaugh a superstar coach?
He has a personality like nobody else. He has to me, when he was a Niner coach, I would hang on his word, whether it was insane or this thing that would just fire you up. And the results were there. And like, he would be animated on the sidelines. There would always be some incident that would be happening. The Jim Schwartz handshake, all these things. He was the face of that team in those years.
I don't recall there being anything about Jim Harbaugh that was unique or special. Like, I really, except for the Jim Schwartz.
And
like,
you ain't thinking, then you were not watching those press conferences every week.
What did
you
say?
You.
Like, I must have shook his hand too hard or something.
He is a
like,
unique football personality, a uniquely, like, only football could produce this type of guy who is just so.
I mean,
so,
look what he did in Michigan.
Yeah. Right.
What did at Stanford?
I think he is a unique
what
personality
did he,
in the sports
did,
world.
What did he do at Stanford?
Turn the program around.
Absolutely. Oh. Everywhere he's gone, he's won. Everywhere.
Stanford, Andrew Luck
Stanford
owes a
success. Didn't win a title. They didn't win a national
they
title.
They went from nothing. They went from, the grades and everything, though our standard of excellence holds us back, to they were legit contenders in the whatever it was. It was
Toby
BCS
Gerhart.
They were legitimately
Sherman.
Contenders in the Pac-10 and Pac-12 and even in the national discussion when he was there. Absolutely.
You really like Harbaugh.
I was there for those years.
It's a new piece to add to the Chargers.
I know. I was like, man.
No,
I'm
no
like,
wait. That's not a new piece.
Amar, you are a huge Charger
we
fan.
We can go back. We can. I know we're running on time here. I know we were trying to end a little early, and I'll leave it at this. The 2012 Super Bowl, there's a picture of me dressed up exactly like Jim Harbaugh for our Super Bowl party. Khakis, the Sharpie around my neck, everything. The black turtleneck. I've always been a Harbaugh.
They're my favorite AFC team. They're my second team.
There you go. There you go. Bolt up.
Bolt up, baby.
Didn't expect that.
Just did.
Didn't expect that today.
Just bolt did. Down.
Just
let's get some Charger hats, Cody.
Just
I feel like I have to.
Who cares organization?
I feel like I have to.
Fourth best team in the AFC West, maybe.
Oh, brother.
All right. Well,
16th best team in the AFC.
16th. Well, that's all. Anyway, I was gonna say that's all we got for the show because Conrad's got some Bedard chase to go.
Oh, yes.
to get going over here. But check out MojoBreak.com if you guys want to get in those Series 2 breaks. We have them posted. We're gonna be posting some more. We also have Spectra Football coming out at the end of this week, which we didn't really talk about, but you know, Spectra's always good, always worth those chase. And if you want to get a box of Series 2, head on over to MojoBreak Shop and figure out how you can get one. So. But you can get one.
Come to the shop. Get on over to the shop.
I didn't even get to dig into my boys' Upper Deck today.
It's
I wanted
the
to.
Hardest way to navigate how I want to make a purchase. How do I make a purchase?
Well, you got to go talk to Tito on the corner. He'll tell you to go down the street, and then we'll talk
go
to another
guy. Go to the website
guy.
And do your best to try to figure it out.
Yep. Yep.
There you go.
But it's really easy to buy a team at MojoBreak.com.
Absolutely.
So you do that. Yep. And we'll see you guys next week on The Hype. Peace.